Learn how to build your faith on God's word and live a life of 100% victory 100% of the time. As you listen to the senior pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okunkwo, and expect God's word to work for you.
Come on, tell your neighbor, I am who God says I am. I can do what he says I can do. All right, our identity is based on who God says we are. The importance of that is because God is our maker and he's the only one that can define us, that can define our capabilities, that can define our possibilities. When men try to define you, they also confine you. When men try to define you, they also what? Confine you. That is why you must look unto God for your identity. The moment you look to men for it, once men define you, they also confine you to that definition. For instance, there were a couple of times they tried to kill Jesus in the Bible. One of it was when he said, he and the Father are one, and he is a child of God or the Son of God. They got upset because they wanted to define him as a man, as a normal man, but he knew that he was God's child. If they define you, then they will confine you to that definition. They wanted to define him as the carpenter's son. If they can define him as the carpenter's son, then they will confine him to carpentry. His future can be great or greater than that definition. That's why they said, can anything good come from Nazareth? They were trying to define him based on where he came from because that would put a limit on where he can get to. Is somebody getting this? They wanted to confine him. So as they try to define him based on his physical location, that will be a limit to where he can ever get to. Don't ever allow men define you. Don't ever allow men define you. You are the one that will know who you are, and it is based on who God says you are. It's not based on how well you are performing now. We did all these things throughout the weeks. Please get the messages. It's not based on your performance. Just because you are not doing well now doesn't mean you are not a great person. There is greatness in you. God didn't make anything that was not powerful. God is a powerful God and everything he created is powerful. That's the reason why we are dealing with Satan. Those of you that have come for midweek service, we've been studying that. Satan too is powerful. He's not powerful over a Christian, but he's powerful. Because everything God made is powerful. God didn't make him to be wicked, but God made him as Lucifer. And it was right, we studied that during midweek. Very powerful guy. Not powerful over a believer. Don't get me wrong. Don't be afraid. Even mosquitoes. Mosquitoes have been responsible for many deaths. Am I correct? Heavy. Malaria, heavy. So you can't just say his mosquito is small, he's joking. Okay. So, God made you, and that means you are a powerful being. Don't let people try to define, people have in their mind, they have an idea of how far you should go. They have a container they have put you. Hallelujah. As I was driving here this morning, somebody, in the traffic light, somebody wound down. I was asking me, are you a pastor? I don't know what she was going to say next. The light was green and I had to go. The light turned green and I had to move. But I don't know why I didn't feel it was a good thing she was going to say. I don't know why I didn't, because I was not driving gently at all. I was, Pastor Mildred didn't ride with me today, so you know what that means. When she rides with me, I have to drive gently. When she's not with me, I drive very unpastorly. So I believe that one wanted to say, are you? I'm suspect, I don't know. Because I screeched at the toll gate. Hallelujah.
But the point is that people have in their mind, they have what they expect you to be. Even though it's not locked down on scripture, that you must be this way. I remember somebody harassed me one time. I forgot what I was wearing to preach. I think I was just wearing, I can't remember what I was wearing. But it wasn't suit. And the person said, is a pastor supposed to preach? I mean, wear this to preach? I said, please give me the scripture of how, when they wrote, a pastor should wear suit. Because Jesus himself didn't even wear suit. You see, but people have, in their mind, they have a container of how everything should be. Even though it's not based on what God said, it's based on their own perception of how life should be. And you must be free from people. I pray that God will set you free from people. Amen. If you keep trying to please everybody, you will soon lose your real essence. Be yourself. As long as you're not contradicting scripture, of course. Be yourself. Hallelujah. Also, last week we mentioned that people should not be particular about position. In Africa, it's such a thing for us. Maybe it's still the aftermath of the slave era. Position is very important. You know, we read the story last week of the children of Zebedee that went to import their mother to come and beg Jesus Christ that let one of my sons sit on the right and the other one. What of the remaining 10 people? Doesn't matter. Let's take over. Hallelujah. Position. The reason why people drag for position is because they see it as an opportunity to oppress other people. They think it means people will be serving me, be serving them. I know people that won't attend the workers' training, but they want to attend the leaders' training. How funny can that be? Not realizing that Jesus said, if you must be great, he that must be great among you, let him what? Serve. So you can't, you say you're not interested in workers training, but you want leaders training. Who will you lead? What is leadership? Think it's controlling people? Hallelujah. So it's an African problem. Somebody was gisting me about his experience driving Uber. And how Nigerians can be very rude. Just because somebody's an Uber driver doesn't make him less than you. The principle in life is that nobody is greater than you and nobody is less than you. You must treat every human being the way you want to be treated. So every human being is at the same level in your eyes as you. They are free. You can't reduce them and neither should you put them above you. Of course, you should give honor to whom honor is due. I understand that. But you can't look down at people or on people. You cannot look down. Just because somebody's an Uber driver, some people that drive Uber are richer than the person they are carrying. But the person might not know. Where are you? What do you mean? Why not? You can be polite. Being polite shows that you respect yourself. It's not first about respect. It shows that you have a sense of respect. The person was telling me that generally, that people that sit in front with him are usually more exposed, usually richer, and usually give tips. He said, but those that like position, just sit at the owner's corner. Usually are very rude and entitled. There's no position, leave position. Of course, if you like sitting at the back, I'm not saying sitting at the back, but me, I personally like sitting in front. I hate sitting at the back. Even if I'm being driven by somebody, I sit in front. What's happening at the back? Except there's a reason if there's no reason, I'm going to sit in front. You know, but people like position. They like to be seen. You must free yourself from those things. Your value cannot come from position. If they remove you from being HOD or remove you from, you can still serve. Many people, once you remove them from being HOD or position, they don't serve again. They don't serve again. They must lead or not. Very funny. Yes, no special position. Any service I'm not preaching or doing anything, I prefer to even sit at the gallery. I like that view. Sometimes during midweek, if I'm not preaching, I sit anywhere. It was when I sat in the audience one day, I discovered that these chairs are really small. We need to change them. God, I've never sat on those chairs. So one day, during service, I sat. If you see how tight, because me and the person were struggling. You know when somebody's struggling for who put their hand in front of? It was tough. Now just pastor anointing, I take chance. We're struggling for, because the chair was... But I can sit anywhere. What's happening? Why must I sit in front? What's happening in front? I can sit anywhere. I'm not entitled, you don't attach importance to things that are not important. Hallelujah. Okay. So who does God say you are? Who does God say you are? Who does God say you are? He said you are a chosen generation. Hallelujah. See, these are the things you focus your attention on. You should read them constantly and use them to determine or define your value. He said, but you are a chosen generation. Let me tell you about you are chosen. You are already chosen. So if a man doesn't choose you, it doesn't change anything. If a lady doesn't choose you, it doesn't, you are already what? Chosen. You are a chosen generation. You are accepted in the beloved. You are already loved by the Almighty. You are chosen. Don't use the fact that a guy or a girl doesn't think you are the person they want to marry to make you feel inferior. People have a right to their opinion and their choice. And you must realize that not many people have good taste. Hallelujah. Not many people have good taste. So don't let that pain you that somebody did. People always ask me those questions every time. Pastor, there's this girl. I send her credit. I send her SMS. I send her chat. She's not answering. What do I do? When you are not advanced. You want to kidnap her? Go to your house. There are how many billions of women in this life? And is this one that you are worrying yourself with? You must be careful not to let people, you know, bring down your sense of value. Because rejection is one of the greatest attack on our sense of value. And you know, 100 people can like you, but if just one person doesn't like you, it has a way of affecting you more than the 100 people that like you. Hope you realize that. Hope you know you have more friends than enemies in this life. But you know, you can be so focused on the people that don't like you, and you'll be depressed and sad. And be praying every time about your enemies. The Bible says, greater are they that are with us than he that is outside. The people with us are more. They are always more. The angels with us are more. But some people can focus their whole prayer life on demons and on enemies. Somebody getting this? That one person can make it pain you so much that you will forget the hundreds of people that appreciate you. And you see, the higher your value, you must get to the stage where you understand that not many people can afford you. Not many people can afford to be close to you. Not many people can afford to be in your life. If you are selling Ferrari, you can't be upset that there is no crowd in your shop. The price of that car reduces crowd. Is somebody get what I'm saying? I saw a Bugatti bicycle. You know bicycle? The thing with palm wine tapas ride in those days? Bicycle? I saw one Bugatti bicycle, $39,000. Bicycle. Somebody asked, will you still pedal it? Or you pedal yourself? You will pedal it. Do you think people that made a 39,000 bicycle expect that crowd will be coming there? They know that it might just be one person that will value it. And that's how you are. You're a work of art. Sometimes only one person or very few people that will value you. Be content with that. Because you don't need people to value you. Value yourself. Hallelujah. The people that made it, they know what they put into it that made them charge that price. You can't wait for everybody to agree with you. They might not agree. They might not agree with your sense of value. Is somebody getting this? So you, value must come between you and God. You can't let crowd. It's not by people's clapping or not clapping for you. No. I've told you ladies, before you leave the house, tell yourself you are beautiful in case nobody tells you. Because if you depend on somebody to tell you, they don't tell you. Because once people elevate you, they can also demote you. The day they don't tell you, you lose your self-esteem. Is somebody getting this? I told you when I traveled some years, many years ago, and I think it was one of my first times. Yes, it was my first trip to London, many, many, many years ago. And you know, when I got to the shopping mall, I saw Tommy Hilfiger shop empty. I saw Ralph Lauren shop empty. I said, these people don't know fashion. And I saw people in other shops, Zara and the rest, many people everywhere else. I said, if you don't know fashion, you didn't go to Tommy Hilfiger, you didn't go, I entered there. When I saw price of boxer, I saw price of t-shirt, ordinary t-shirt. When I saw the price, I knew why there was nobody there. I knew why I was the JJC in town. I entered there. The prizes, that kind of prizes, crowd can't come there. There's only very few people that come there. Have you ever entered those shops before? And you just enter with braggadocious, with boldness. You enter, just a parallel, say, bring that one. How much is that? How? Just the, point fine things. When you go close, consider the price. For your mind, you're thinking, how I go come on here now? Well, you know, go look somehow. That all you're, they think you're still pricing. You're walking around checking things. They think, say, you know, all you're thinking is how I will come out here with my dignity intact. Without them insulting me now, they think. I've entered this kind of show. It's how I'll come out, I'm thinking. I told you the story what happened in London too one time. We passed one shop on that popular shopping street in London. I forgot his name. Jermain Street, I think. We passed one shop. They were selling cufflinks. Ah, I said, I like these cufflinks. I wanted to enter. My wife said, don't enter this kind of shop. They don't enter it. I said, I'll enter. She said, no. She convinced me. So when we were coming back, I convinced her. I said, let me enter. I'm not going to enter. By the time I opened the door was locked. I had to press bell. Shop that they are open for business, but they locked their door. Haven't I told you it's not everybody they're looking for? Don't you see? When you know your value, things, because people are rushing other guests, don't let it intimidate you. Don't let it intimidate you. When you know your value, so, things that are rare, diamond too is stone, no? It's stone, it's just that it's rare. Don't let, do they use diamond to build house? When they are packing gravel, they pack diamond like that. So sometimes, the more special you are, the more you have to wait a bit. Yeah. Don't let the crowd is going somewhere. You have, no. Do your own thing. So the door was locked. I was already skeptical. When people lock their door and they're open for business. But I've reached there. I can't turn back. So I press the bell. They answer me with intercom. Hello, can we help you? I say, You didn't, am I playing? You not shop? Are you not open? I said, I want to check what you have. They say, okay, hold on. They now press something. Ting, now open. From inside, I didn't see the person. By the time I entered, the person now came out. I was now looking at the cufflinks. Fine cufflinks. I now asked the price of one. It says £10,000. Cuffling, you know cuffling, this thing that holds shirt. It's not the shirt, it's the thing. Just hold the shirt. £10,000. They say they have another one 9,000, they have another one 8,000. Do I want to see more? I say, it's how I will go out, I'm thinking. You think I'm checking the things? I'm already discouraged. It's how to live here without it looking somehow, that I'm thinking. £10,000 for cuffling. How much is now shirt? How much is trouser? If you wear a cuffling of 10,000, you do know what you're going to wear with it? Do you know what you're going to be driving? Your cuffling can be more expensive than your car. Does it make any sense? And if I wear £10,000 cuffling, I can't wear shirt. I can't wear shirt. I will use rope and hold it. And walk naked. So people will stop me and say, what's wrong? I will not be showing them. Because you can't just wear £10,000 and be passing. If I wear that one now with this suit, you won't know I'm wearing it. You won't respect me. If I don't wear shirt, you come and say, what's wrong? I say, see. And those kind of things, you leave the price tag. You don't wash it. Leave it there. Anybody that passes needs to see it. How much is £10,000 in Naira? Yeah? Eh? 4.7 million. For cuffling. How much is iPhone 10? That can call and receive SMS. That cuffling better be receiving SMS and it better be making call. Eh? And be able to download data and send email. Is somebody here? So don't let people put you under pressure. So he said you're a chosen generation. You are what? A royal priesthood. You are already royalty. You are royalty. And there's a way kings behave. Are you here, somebody? There's a way kings behave. Kings don't need material things to give them authority. They already have a sense of importance because they are royalty. It's not what you drive or what you have. Hallelujah. They already have a sense of importance and a sense of value because they are royalty. People that are royalty have no issue with serving because they understand that serving another person doesn't reduce them. It's people that don't have any sense of value that are afraid to do anything that will reduce them because they think those things are the things that elevate them. Great people, Jesus, as great as he was washing disciples' feet, he was serving people because he was already great. When you're already great, you don't hustle. When you're already rich, you don't hustle. You know you're there. But it's people that don't have any money that spend all their money to look rich. They don't have money, but they spend all their money to look rich. I've been a pastor for 21 years. Trust me, initially it was a big shock. The people that buff up the most and even drive the biggest cars can't give one naira when it's time. Say, oh, want to buy a speaker? We need 1 million. Can we just raise 100,000 between 10 of us? When you see people go silent. Because all his investment is inside his cloth. He said, you are an holy nation. What does that mean? Holy there means separated. Okay? You are a separated and peculiar nation. You are a peculiar what? People. You are not common. You are a peculiar people. You are going to be different. It's okay to be different. Hallelujah. As long as you are in line with scripture. You know, some people, they enter, use their own difference and enter bush. That's not what I'm talking about. You can be unique. He said that you should show forth what? The praises. So we don't just sing praises. We show what? Praises. That means your life will be in a way that it shows forth. It shows forth the praises. Hallelujah. That's one of my greatest motivations for being blessed. I want to be blessed to show forth the praises of God. I want to be blessed so that people can look at me and see how good God is. A lot of times, you know, you can't judge people's intention. You might see somebody dressing well or doing it. I just think they are doing it the way you would do it just for vainglory. But some people understand that they are ambassadors and they must represent the kingdom very well. Hallelujah. When I became born again and I started growing, I discovered that I have a unique perspective about being a pastor. I knew part of my calling was to at least represent a different kind of Christian and pastor. Because when I was young, being a pastor means you must be very dry and out of touch. You must speak only in King James English. Brother, thou art welcome. Where is thine house? Art thou coming? Or comest thou from the market? So this was the impression people had of Christians and of pastors. That if you were a Christian or a pastor, you were out of touch, you were not fun, you were dry and boring. So when I became born again, I discovered that I was still not boring, I was still not dry. I still wanted to do fun things. I get what I'm saying? So I discovered that there are a lot of other people that probably are not going to serve God or don't want to serve God because they can't find this kind of thing. So I decided to be myself. Is somebody getting this? So if you have been here long enough, you know I'm not a religious pastor. Not at all. And Jesus was cool. He went to parties. Sinners loved him. Is somebody getting this? If you have driven with me or gone anywhere with me, you will know that I'm not that kind of, I don't even like people to identify me quickly as a pastor. Let's first relate freely. Because once people know you're a pastor, they will start acting up for you. So I knew I had to be myself. It can be fun, it can be interesting. Every time I ask the people that drove with me today, you don't just overtake me for nothing. One pass out today, I said, no. Put spot mode. That's why I screeched at the toll gate, because the guy was trying me. And if I pass them back, I can ask you, now you can pass, just to show you that. I just enjoy having fun, you know. It's not passing, I'm not crazy about people, but I like the fun of it. But the point, you see, because people think, because those days, one of the major scriptures that were reading then was be sober. So people believe that if you were born again, you can't be enjoying. Hey, you're laughing in church. Those days, you also laughing, people are laughing. Hey, in church. It's a solemn assembly. Everybody just looking straight. You can't be smiling, brother. And I didn't know where they all got the secondhand clothes they were wearing then. It's as if they had an importer. Once you became born again, they give you your package. So these are your new clothes. These are your new set of clothes. Because all the Christians I knew then wore secondhand clothes. They were never the right sizes. Did you notice? They all wore coat, not suit or coat. The trouser would never reach down. I didn't know where they got those things from. I think they had a supplier then. Just come out for water cord, they'll give you a packet. What's your size? Size what? 17 and a half. Good trouser is what? They help you say, this is all you wear now. So I'm free. Hallelujah. The Bible said, live in the freedom that Christ has set you free and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't let people put you under bondage. Suit is not the authorized dressing of a pastor. It's not in any scripture. Hallelujah. In places like America and co, the pastors wear jeans and t-shirt and short sleeve shirt. Because that's not their point of authority. Is somebody getting this? Hallelujah. So he said, we're called for to show forth the praises of the person that has saved us or called us. Hallelujah. He said, he has called us, show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into what? His marvelous. So you must press into God for your identity. It's not something you hear once. You need to hear it over and over again until it enters you, until it becomes louder than the voice of men. It becomes louder than the voice of society. It becomes louder and louder and louder. Hallelujah. There are a few things that can help your value. I'll run through them. I've been talking about things you should not build your value on. I'll run through these 7 things that helps your value. Then we'll close from there. Number one. Okay, I've mentioned the fact that, you know, what God says you are. You know, God also says you are the righteousness of God in Christ. So, friends, if you are a believer, if you're a born again Christian, you are righteous. Okay? You are already righteous. Because one of the things that try to remove our value is anytime we fall short of God's command, we begin to feel inferior. Listen, I know that you make mistakes. God also knows you make mistakes. He has already marked you right before you made the mistakes. Of course, you should improve your character, definitely. But he needs your confidence to be right, because that's the only way you will even step up in your behavior. Have you noticed that once you do one bad thing wrong, you tend to do more? If you don't quickly reverse yourself. And that's what the devil wants to do. The reason why the devil doesn't want you to feel righteous, the reason why the devil thinks it's your performance that makes you righteous, is that the day you commit one sin, you smoke one cigarette, say, I don't cuckoo smoke, make I just cuckoo smoke the remaining two. That's the ideology. And that's why God is saying you are righteous. If you make one mistake, don't focus on that mistake. Focus on my righteousness and step up. It's because if you keep focusing on that mistake, you'll do more. It's like when you are fasting and you mistakenly eat one slice of bread. Tendency is that you have eaten one. What difference will it make to eat 6 more? Just the only difference now is that you put butter. Do you understand? But if you quickly adjust your mind after eating that one slice and register in your mind as if you never ate that one slice, as if you are still righteous before God, you'll find that you have more chance of stepping into a holy life than if you were thinking of that sin or that mistake. Somebody gets what I'm saying? So that's why God is saying you are righteous. He's saying you must focus on that. Don't focus on sin consciousness. He doesn't want you to keep confessing your sin every morning. So when they wake up, that's the first thing. Every time they want to pray, they first confess all their sins. No, he doesn't want you to sin conscious. He wants to be righteousness. Instead, if you wake up morning, confess your righteousness. That's what he wants you to do. Confess your righteousness. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Because that's exactly what God says. That's exactly how God sees you. You are in Christ. So he doesn't see you as a sinful guy. No. He keeps seeing you the way he wants you to be. He understands that if he speaks up to you, you will rise up. If he talks down at you, you will go down. I remember the experiment that was done in a class. I hope I'm managing my time well. I'm not, obviously. I remember the experiment that was done in a class. They took a few students, let's say 20 students. 10 of them were poor students. The other 10 were the high-flying students. But when they put them in that class, they did a test. And they told the ones that were brilliant that they were not so brilliant, that they didn't do well at all. Then the ones that did bad, they told them that they were the best students, incredibly intelligent, geniuses. And they said, by the course of that term, those guys that they told that were good, which we were not good, all their grades stepped up. Because now they had put that feeling of confidence in them, so they want to live up to it. So all of them, their grades went up. And the ones that were good before, that they told that they did badly, all of them, their grades went down because they lost their confidence. So that's exactly what God and Satan tries to do in your life. Satan tries to tell you you're not good enough. And eventually you start dropping. And God wants to tell you you are good enough. In spite of how you are, he said you are good enough. Eventually you will start what?
Rising.
Did somebody get that? So a few things. I'll run through them because I don't have time. A few things that add or make you valuable. Number one, the maker of a thing. I call this seven laws of value. These seven things that make something valuable. So number one, the maker of a thing makes it valuable. Just the maker. The maker of a thing, what? Makes it valuable. Guess what, guys? You are his workmanship. In the book of Ephesians, guys. TJ, bring it up. The Bible says what? We are what? His workmanship. So your maker is God. Now I see people trip when they see the maker of a bag or a shoe being LV. A human being like them. Once LV put his name on a shoe, the value goes up. Is somebody here? I was in America one time, I saw LV shop. I was videoing it. I said, see where they're selling landed property. Security has come and tell me they don't video here. I say, good, because these people are selling land. I don't know if they know. It's landed property they're selling. When you see one shoe, 2 million naira, 3 million naira, it's land. In Naija, cemetery and all those areas, mortuary, you will see land of 3 million. Is somebody get what I'm saying? Just by putting LV on the bag. Same bag. If I bring the same bag now, or the same shoes. If I put LV on one and put Obiora and Sons on the other, same shoes, we all agree that the value of the one that has LV on it will be about 10 or 20 times or more. Somebody getting it? Just because of the maker. Just because of the maker. The name of the maker. And you are his workmanship. God made you. So you are valuable. Who made you? Look at it here. Ephesians 2:10. Say, for we are what? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. You are a masterpiece of God. He personally made you. You are customized, handcrafted, and designed by the Almighty God. You have a label on your body that shows made by God. Not made in China. Not made in Taiwan. Not made in America. Not made in London. Is you are made in heaven by the Almighty God. It says personally handcrafted by God. If you have been to car shops like Bentley or some other car shops, one of the reasons they give why the price of the car is so high, they'll say this leather was hand stitched. They'll say this chair, the leather, is not machine, that does Toyota Honda did it. They say it was hand-stitched. A human being sat down and hand-stitched it. And they will load price on it. You too, you were handcrafted by the Almighty God. You are not mass production. Are you here, somebody? If you can figure that out, that God made you, and God doesn't make trash. The reason why the name LV or the name Bentley or the name Benz makes so much wave is because people know that if something is Benz, they can't do trash. How much more? The Almighty God. If he made you, he doesn't make trash. You are not cheap. Are you here, somebody? I have to move quickly. There are about six more to go. So I have to move. Second thing that gives something value is the price of a thing. The price of a thing. The price of a thing. If you don't know what and what is valuable, when you enter a shop, by the time you see the price on them, you will know which one is more valuable than what? The other. Just the price tag will convince you and clear your doubt. Sometimes they put two things together in the same shop. By the price tag, you shall know the price tag, and the price tag shall set you free. You see? Eh? Why is this one this expensive? Then they will start telling you why. Hallelujah. Start telling you why. I saw one watch on the internet. Me and somebody were sharing the picture on the internet of one watch that can tell time on the moon, that uses the stars to tell. I say, what? I don't even want to hear the price. When star don't enter inside watch, the price cannot be friendly. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting this? Now, what is the price that was paid for you? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. You are not your own, but you are bought with a price. And that price is the blood, the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. That's what they used to purchase you. Sinless blood. And you see, the reason why that is so heavy is because there is no other sinless blood forever. It's only one. And that one was spent on you. Only one. The sinless blood of Jesus. The spotless blood of Jesus was shed just because of you. That was what God used to purchase you. You are very expensive. That's why I tell girls, you can't let chicken and meat pie be what will purchase you. The Bible said in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, it said her price is more than rubies. See, girls that say, I can't marry somebody that is a poor man. Those are poor girls. I don't even know where you people meet people like that. We won't even be friends. Say, I can't marry somebody that doesn't have a... Those are hungry people. So meaning that if this person has things, then he's eligible. Just because he has things. Hope you know there are animals abroad that have inherited wealth. So you marry this goat or this cat. By the time you put money as an issue. Of course, parents should have a job, but he must not be rich. Two of you can start and build together. Those days of waiting for a man to do everything has passed though. Oh, long gone. Men too now don't want to marry you poor and liable, girls that are liabilities. What are you doing? Nothing. I'm just making up my face. That's what I do. Morning to night. That's my job. Is that one work? I can't marry him. He doesn't have a car. That's a hungry girl. Hallelujah. You must marry a man because of who they really are, not what they have. Or else most times you will miss the best men. Because sometimes the best men are not where they are going yet. They are work in progress. They might not look it. In fact, the best time to even find a wife is when you don't look it. When you look it, everybody wants to marry you. And some girls are so good at pretending. When you're rich, every girl is good. Because they don't burn her well. Anything you say, she will agree. Any joke, she will laugh. When you don't look it, is the best time. You will see her true character. If she's rude to you now, then she'll be rude forever. That's how you know. Don't wait until you have car. Hallelujah. So the price of a thing gives it value. I have to move quickly. Number what? Number three. Obviously, I will not finish the seven things in this service. Number three, the rarity of a thing. That's the scarcity of a thing. Gives it value. That's how we know what is valuable. The more scarce or rare it is. The rarity. I don't even know if that is English, but it's fine. Where are the English people? Diche and Kode, they're not in the office. Writers. Eh? It's correct. Even if it's not correct, I've used it. And in the Lord is okay. Anything you say in the presence of God with faith is established. Proverbs 25:17, it says, withdraw your food from your neighbor's house, lest he seize you too much and hate you. In other words, they are saying your value is tied to your scarcity. DJ, bring that scripture quickly. It's linked to your scarcity. Proverbs 25:17. It says, withdraw thy food from what? Thy neighbor's house, lest he be what? Weary of you or tired of you, and so what? Hate you. Don't over visit. Don't overstay. Some people, you go and visit, you stay and stay and stay. They say, hey, by this time yesterday, we don't sleep. And you are still just... They have warmed their food. They want to eat, but they want you to go before they eat. They are waiting and waiting and waiting. You self sit down. They wait. They start to sweep. You move location so that they will sweep. All those things are signs that you should go. The scarcity of a thing is what gives it value. So the more scarce you are, the more valuable you are. Like I said earlier on, diamonds are stones. I hope you know. They are stones. The thing that makes them valuable is that they're scarce. And people in diamond business, most of you avoid blood diamond and coal. People in diamond business, they have to keep diamonds scarce to keep the business thriving. So they make sure too much diamond is not released into the market at the same time. People try to do that with oil too and the rest. It's simple business. In fact, those people in big businesses, sometimes they throw away lots of produce just to keep the market price good. So they will throw away some to make sure, because if they allow these ones enter also, it will make the thing drop in price. So they just pack cartons and cartons of chicken or cartons and cartons of oil and just throw it away. Let's keep the price high. So scarcity affects the value of something. The difference between diamond and gravel is scarcity. They are both stones. And guess what? How does that apply to you as a believer? There is only one of you in this whole world. Only one of you. Do you understand? There cannot be another you. The same way God says, I'm the Lord thy God, there's none beside me. You too, there's none beside you. You are the only one of your kind that exists. In this life, your fingerprint is only you that has it. Your DNA is only you that has it. Can you imagine that? It's only you. You are so unique. You are one in 7 billion. Do you understand? There are 7 billion people on this earth and there is no you. Some people look like you, but they are not you. They might talk like you, but they are not you. That's why you must value yourself. You can't even just marry anybody you like. You can't just do anything you like with your life. You are precious. You're a masterpiece. You're a work of art. And you're an endangered species. Have you seen when they take care of endangered animals? They put them in a safe place. They take care of them because these are the last ones that are remaining. This is the last of you that is remaining. Hope you know that the day you die, there will be no other you again in this life. Forever and ever. It's not that after 10 years, they will produce another one. No. This is the only you that has ever come to this earth. This is the only you that will ever come to this earth. It's humbling. I mean, God could have done mass production and put two of you in far places where you won't see yourself. Put somebody in Australia, put one in Lokoja. Same production, different name. But God didn't do that. Out of the 7 billion people, He's still handcrafting everybody and making everyone different. You are different in your looks, different in your character. You are always different in your response to situation. Is somebody getting this? There is only one you. I think you should shake or touch the person beside you. This is a masterpiece. There's only one. There's only one of this thing, ever. Only one of it. Only one. Please shake the person beside. Touch his or her hand. It's enough. You can leave that girl now. Some people just say, hey, thank you, Jesus. Leave her alone. After service, continue. As led of the Spirit. I'm a car enthusiast. I like cars. So, one of the things they use to determine the value of a car is they say, oh, this is one of the 10 that was ever made. That means if it's only 10 that was made, it's a collector's item. There's one new Ferrari that came out. Totally love the car. Of course, it's the price about $2 or $3 million, something crazy. Crazy car. Love the car. But they said it's a collector's item. I think it's only 1,000 or so that was made. All over the world. That means it's very scarce. That means everybody that buys it is for collecting. You buy it to keep it. Say collect. Some is only 100 that are made. Some is only 10 that are made and they are unnumbered. Is somebody getting this? That's how unique you are. You are so unique. There is no, see, you need to carry yourself with pride. It's not clothes that give you value. You give value to clothes. Don't be moved by what you can afford to wear. It doesn't matter. Don't be moved by where you live. It doesn't matter. You are a valuable person. Hallelujah. Only one of you in this whole life. I'm glad to know you. I'm glad to meet you in this lifetime. Because there will be no other you. There will be no other you. People that have not met you, they've missed. They've missed. The person that didn't marry you, he has missed or she has missed. There's only one you. Hallelujah. Only one you. In this whole life. Can you imagine that? Only one Kingsley. You better be treating me nice. You better be treating me nice. Hallelujah. There's only one me. There can't be another. Some other people might talk like me, but they are not me. They might look like, but they are not me. That's why you must treat everybody with respect. Hallelujah. Do you see how valuable you are? I'll continue the other things in the second service. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know what the Bible says? One of the things that makes you valuable is the fact that you also live forever. Now listen carefully. Every human being God made will live forever. The issue is always where you will live that forever. You will live forever. Yes, at some point you will exit this natural life, but you will live forever, either in heaven or in hell. And all it takes to change your destination from hell to heaven is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Can we bow our heads wherever we are this morning? I want to pray for the person that is here today that is not yet born again.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.